You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. I hope for the love of everything that is good in this world that this is working. Alongside James and alongside Joey on Stars, we're doing a crossover episode here this evening. Thank you guys for joining us. I'll be in and out trying to figure out my connection issues, so I apologize if I'm doing so. Just like it with technology. First, all of technology is just failing me this evening, guys. So I'm not even going to talk that much. I'm going to try and figure out my technical issues. Y'all talk about the game, giving me your first initial breakdown. Go.
The Stars actually played a decent game for most of it. Especially the first period was absolutely spectacular. I mean, the shots were 9-2 in the first there. The only thing they could have done better is execute more on their chances. And honestly, it was more Dostal kind of stoning them through that first period. And then the refs got a little involved. Stars got a little carried away with penalties. That really gave the Ducks a huge chance to come back into it. And they kind of took over the game late in that second period. And then the third period, since there's no penalties, they kind of just went back to what they did in the first and just dominated, played solidly defensively. And then Otter had some huge saves late to push them into overtime, which they efficiently won out.
Yeah, it was a roller coaster of a night. And by the way, I appreciate Ryan for trying to figure this out. I think this is a perfect representation of how the Stars played tonight. But he's delivering. He's trying his best to deliver. So shout out to Ryan for getting this all handled. I can imagine the frustrations he's going through currently, but it felt like a huge sigh of relief to get a full 2 points out of this one. You just can't drop a point to Anaheim. I know they've played the Stars pretty well, but man, Dallas needed that win, and it felt big. They've just reverted back to some play that we saw, I feel like, early in the year, where just everything was a chore. Like it's just hard to get out of their own zone and get going, and they finally found a way to get a couple of big saves from Otter, who's been kind of awful recently. And I'm usually an Otter apologist, but my God, he's just fighting it constantly over the last week or so. And I said to myself, with about 8 minutes to go, Otter's going to have to make a couple of huge saves here, because it just felt like Anaheim was coming. Their forecheck was good. They got some good looks. And then, I mean, a second later, they had that good chance that Otter had to fight off with a shoulder. And then the Lacombe chance when he was coming right down the slot and Dallas just got puck watching. They had the angle from behind the net on Victory Plus. And when I saw the pass, I went, uh-oh, it's 4-3. And then Otter came across and made a huge save. And thankfully that happened, but I want to give a huge shout out to Thomas Harley. He was brilliant, of course, but he looked pissed off, and I like to see that out of him, because they were frustrated with the officiating. It was a whole debacle. I don't know if 8 of the penalties were actually penalties. Maybe 3 of them were, but I like that Thomas Harley on that shift, he started everything by just driving in, and he looked irritated and absolutely ticked off. And I love to see that he scored and he slams his stick. It's like, finally, someone's like a little upset with how things are going. And he scored the massive goal. And it just felt like it kind of spurred Dallas on. And, you know, credit to Otter for making a couple of big saves. And gosh, they needed that OT win. And it was good for Granny to get that too. I was thinking about it earlier today. He's been a bit quiet here over the last five or six games. So for him to get a couple, the one lucky shot that he found a hole on, but a big time goal in overtime. So all things considered, it just felt like a massive win, and it's an ugly one, but gosh, they just needed it after what was a really disappointing end of the road trip. And I thought it was going to be a get right game. And as you mentioned, James, it looked like it was going to be that way. In the first period, they were just dominating, just couldn't score on some of their looks. I mean, Rantanen had a couple of grade A chances, but they found a way, and gosh, we'll take it at this point. We can move on.
Okay. Can y'all actually hear me?
Oh, that's beautiful.
This is literally from my brand new iPhone. By the way, Apple, I hate you. T-Mobile, I hate you. Will never be a sponsor of this.
Samsung, baby. All about the SGs, baby. The Galaxies. Come on.
Oh, man. Okay. I don't even know what to talk about the game because I'm so frustrated with all of the technology stuff. But everything that you guys have been saying, yes to the nth degree. The thing about everybody here tonight is that, and you mentioned Harley looking, you know, being pissed off or whatever, Joey. You know, Pete DeBoer in the post-game press conference said he was probably one of the best players on the ice and was absolutely the best player on the ice for Dallas tonight. And then, the other thing I got to mention just for myself because I'm so beyond frustrated with it is just the penalties the last three games have been absolutely atrocious. And I mean, both ways. Absolutely both ways. Like, a majority of the calls here tonight, just complete BS that puts the Stars down 5-3. Like, sorry, 5-on-3 in terms of the power play, right? Just complete and utter BS. Both of them were terrible, terrible calls. And then the ref also calls no goal for goalie interference. And it wasn't even close to goalie interference. I wish the first thing I looked at is I got my binoculars out and I kind of stole that idea from some people up in the press box, and I looked straight at Pete DeBoer and he starts smirking as soon as it's called off. And I'm like, yeah, to turn to people next to me. I'm like, yeah, he knows. Like, that was utterly, utterly such bad officiating tonight. And I'm over it.
I don't know what it was. It was just soft all over the place. The Duchesne one early, I can understand. He got his stick on his hands. But the one call that Duchesne even drew for the Stars' first power play, I was like, that's a bit weak. They called tripping, and I don't know. But it was curious all the way. The Marchment and Gudas, like, what? That was baffling to me. It's just two guys that run into each other. Like, if anything, it should be interference both ways. I don't know why they felt the need to even make a call there. It's just wanting to be a part of the action and wanting to, I guess, impact the game. And that's where it becomes so infuriating. And then, of course, Rantanen gets the soft call behind the net, and that leads to the snowball effect of everything going wrong in that second period. It was just an atrocious second period for the Stars, and it was just like, oh, here we go again. I guess it's going to be that type of night against Anaheim.
Even the slashing on the penalty shot call was weird too, because the dude's standing still. I mean, he's not on a breakaway at all. It's a slash from the net. They call it a penalty shot. So even that one's weird.
Yeah, and, you know, to the ref's credit, or not to the ref's credit, in defense of the refs, the Stars' penalty kill has been outstanding this year, and they could have made this all a moot point if they had just taken care of business on the penalty kill. So, I mean, you can look at the fact that, yes, the officiating was absolute crap tonight. It's the first time I've called it crap. But, again, the Stars didn't take care of business when they needed to.
I see what you're saying, but also it's a 4-on-3, which is basically the same as a 5-on-3, and then it turned into a 5-on-3 that they eventually scored on. So a 5-on-3 and a penalty shot is what they got scored on.
Yeah, I mean, they were asking a lot to try to kill off the 4-on-3/5-on-3, but they also should have taken care of business on the power play a bit. You know, they did have three power plays, yeah, the full complement of 2 minutes, and if they were just able to bury some of their chances, it would have rendered it all moot, especially early. God, that first period, like Rantanen had three just grade A chances, and even for the first 5 to 10 minutes of the second, they came out and were playing decent. And with the way they're defending right now, they just have to bury the chances they get. I mean, right off the hop, I just thought all four lines were humming. Like Johnston was on his toes. That top line was on it. And Duchesne had his legs tonight. He looked like he turned back the clock a little bit, at least to a couple of months ago, was rolling. That spinorama pass he had to Robertson was almost so, so sick. And unfortunately, it just blew up on Robo's blade. But they were playing so well, and it was like, all right, this is good. Kicking off a homestand, the first home game for Mikko. Like, let's get it rolling. And, you know, credit, they had to fight for it tonight. And, yeah, they had to gut this one out, which we weren't hoping for against the Ducks team. But then again, they had to fight through, you know, tough officiating, just tough game all the way around defending wise too. And they just, they found a way, and sometimes it's all you can ask for.
I mean, that's all you have to do when you're going through a tough game like this, and through the tough part of their schedule. They just had two really bad games against two really good teams where, you know, everyone was calling them the perennial Stanley Cup contender once they got Rantanen, and they haven't really played up to their best since Rantanen's been on the team. And I guess that's just a consistency thing and getting used to other players thing. And maybe we just got used to the fact that Granlund and CeCe kind of fit in so well, and we didn't really notice any of the beginner issues when it comes to coming in and learning a new system, especially when everyone else has had like a 3-4 month head start on you, or in some cases a 10 year head start on you. And it's just like we were just kind of lucky to see how those guys fit in all that well. And, you know, as good as Rantanen has been, there have been some things where I'm like, you know, if he knew the system better, he would have played that better. And I mean, we saw that in the 3-on-3 against Colorado. He was out there for the goal against. He was out there for overtime. And he would probably play it a different way if he understood the system for Dallas a little bit better. And that's just going to take some time. And despite the Stars, you know, not playing their best, they still get the 2 points here tonight. And then one other thing on the whole penalty thing. The one thing they did mention, Pete DeBoer mentioned, was he said stop B-wording and keep playing. Yeah. in terms of the penalties, because he said he was asked the question, you know, what did you tell your guys going into the third period and after the second intermission? He's just like, because he could tell the room was very frustrated with the officiating, and he said, guys, stop B-wording and go take care of business. That's what he said. That's basically all you had to do.
And it wasn't just like an atmosphere. I mean, their play suffered a lot after those two calls. After the Rantanen call, I think the Ducks ended up with 10 shots on goal in the last like 7 minutes, 10 seconds, in which they scored those two goals as well. So they really played quite terribly after getting bad calls.
And that was just the case the last three games. And I think it was kind of getting to them a little bit. I did want to give some credit here to a couple of players in particular. I don't know what it was. It was just a gut feeling when it became 2-2, and then especially when it became 3-2 for Anaheim. It felt like a game that Jamie Benn was going to get in offensively on, and he did. And I called that, thankfully, kept my fingers crossed for that. And he made the centering pass to Harley for him to get that goal. Granlund, they kept talking about in some of the other players did in their interviews post game of how good he is defensively, but it's nice to see him get kind of rewarded here tonight with the two goals. And he's been, again, kind of like Duchesne in a way, kind of like Dodonov in a way, very quietly kind of getting points off to the side where you don't really expect it. And he's just finally starting to get in the goal column, which is kind of nice to see from him.
Yeah, and the goal columns where I want him to be more so. And we saw, especially tonight, he had some pretty sharp shots too. I mean, those were goal scorers' goals, just sniping.
Yeah, they need him to produce, especially on that line with Duchesne and Marchment, where Marchment, I think, is fighting it still a bit. And you mentioned his good defensive play. Someone that's really stood out to me, his two-way game, has been Jason Robertson over the last week. He's been fantastic. He's just willing to get in shooting lanes, getting passing lanes, track back, and he's actually started a lot of odd man rushes because of that work too. But it also, I think, tails into, or at least leads me into, I think a even bigger issue with the Stars' defensive zone structure. I think a lot of it can also be put on the Stars' forwards too. I think they just fly the zone way too willy-nilly. They get overzealous, and I know that's how they want to play. They want to get possession, and they want to, you know, basically send the wings like Dodonov always does. You always see him. He's behind the defense, and they do that flip play. And, yeah, that works quite a bit when you have, you know, Miro and Harley in the lineup. But when the Stars are deploying this current personnel, they cannot get over their toes and get out to the neutral zone without the puck being out of their own zone, because so many times they turn the puck over at their blue line and then the opponent is coming downhill at them. I think the forwards need to bear some of that responsibility too. Of course, we would like Cody Ceci and Matt Dumba to be a bit more fleet-footed and be able to snap a breakout pass quickly, but that's just not the case. That's not their strong suit. I think the forwards really need to help out and make sure the puck gets out of their own zone, because, gosh, they've looked like a peewee team over the last couple of games just trying to flip pucks out. And I think they're just giving up too many quality looks because they're just not being responsible enough. We know they can score, and of course they want to get out and play offense, but as the old saying goes, you got to take care of business in one end before you can you know, start the other way. And I think some other guys could, you know, take a look at what Robo and Granlund have been doing. I did want to highlight too, Maverick Bork. I thought he had a great night. He was in on that play too, that led to the Harley goal. And he just seemed like he had a bit of attitude and swagger about his game. And that seems to be growing each and every game, even since Stankoven left. I know it's been a short sample, but seems to me feels the responsibility of taking that bigger role. And you're starting to see some more flashes. And that was good to see. So I thought he had a good night as well.
Yeah, and that coming back from forwards is even more important when you're talking about Miro being out and possibly being out for the first round of the playoffs too. I mean, that is going to be the way they can win is from the forwards coming back. I mean, it's tough to play without your number one defenseman.
Hey guys, it's Ryan here. It might not feel like it, but spring's right around the corner. Know how you can tell? Golfers are hitting the links, and we have some tournaments to be talking about. And if you want to do more than just talk, put your money where your mouth is. Get in on all of the tee to green action with DraftKings Sportsbook. From Thursday's opening round through the closing round Sunday, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with tournament props, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. And if you've never bet on golf before, it's easier than you think. Just pick something simple like a golfer to win the tourney and make your pick. It's just that easy. For example, when you look at the Masters coming up here in a little less than 2 months now, Scottie Scheffler is the winner right now, according to DraftKings Sportsbook odds, with a plus 350, or you could go with Rory McIlroy at a plus 750. Here's something special for first-timers as well. If you do go and bet for one of these two guys, new DraftKings customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casinos and Resort, Kansas. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. New customers only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio.
The thing, I'm glad you brought that up, Joey, because that was the difference between the first period and then the second and the third period. Yes, I know the Stars had a lot of penalty kills in the second period, but the difference in the way they were moving the puck between the first and the third is a stark contrast. And that's been something that has not been as good the last week and a half now, is their breakouts. Their breakouts out of their own zone, and we saw spurts of it in the first period where it was just like, boom, 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 pass. Oh, wow, there's a rush chance. Boom, okay, there's a great shot and a great chance there. And that used to be a lot more like light switch. Like, it was just a snap and it was easy. We're out of the zone. Didn't matter what the situation was, they were able to move the puck quickly. And that's something that they've been struggling with quite a bit, mostly because of the forecheck of the other teams. And it's almost like other teams are studying film on the Dallas Stars, watching other opponents and being like, okay, that's how you play against the Stars. That's their weakness. You go after their defense, and their defense is more than likely to turn the puck over. And then the Stars have to combat that somehow. And the way they combat that is with more defensive responsibility from their forward grouping. And that kind of hurts, because that also means less goals from the offensive forwards in a ways, because they're focusing, and it's just a snowball effect all the way across. And now we're seeing lower possible point totals and goal scoring from the forwards if we have to focus on that too much. So it's just a whole snowball effect coming from there. The one other thing I did want to talk about with tonight's game, and it's a little bit of a hot button issue, because I got a little bit of hate on X for this, but what did y'all see out of Jake Oettinger tonight? He had a better game tonight. He had a better game tonight than he's had in several weeks. But, like, and I understand that, like, the penalty shot goal, like, that's a great play by Leo Carlson. It's a great shot. And, you know, it kind of left Miro, Otter out to dry a little bit. But he hasn't really made a gargantuan save in this game until that play that you mentioned, Joey. Like, that was like, okay, there's an Otter save. That's the save that we need. And we got it at the absolute right time because we were tied up. But up until that point, Oettinger didn't really have like an Otter save, a big highlight reel save that we've seen from him in months past and in years past. Yeah. So I don't know where I'm at with Oettinger right now. And I was even saying on X that, you know, maybe it's time for us to see DeSmith on Thursday. So I'm just curious where y'all are at with the whole Oettinger situation.
Otter definitely wasn't playing the way he can. Even up until through that second period, I mean, the Ducks scored on their fourth shot of the game. That's tough no matter what. Even though their fourth shot of the game was in the second period, it's not great. You don't want to see that happen. And then I think they had three within 20 shots. So it's really tough to see that happen to Otter again and again and again. But the third period is something we have not seen from Otter in 2 months. That is what kind of gives me hope right now, is that's the Otter that we know is in there. That's the type of way that he normally would play earlier in the season, and we got it there in the third period when we really absolutely needed it to beat an inferior team, honestly, on paper. They really needed him to stand on his head for a little bit. They let their defensive play slip late in the third, and he answered the bell. And that's really what gives me hope that he can start getting back on the right track now.
I honestly couldn't believe they started him. I thought they were going to go with the Smith just to give him a night off, because he's just fighting it. Doesn't look all that confident, and he's a bit shaky right now for whatever reason. And yeah, you got to make those timely saves, right? And he came up with a couple of those in the third period. But after the first period, when Dallas was only up 1-0, I was like, oh gosh, here we go. Another one of these games where Otter doesn't face a lot of shots in the first 20 minutes, and he's going to have to make a big time save here or there. And eventually it came in that third period, which was nice to see. I just think he needs a few days off to reset. And I think, Ryan, when you break down the overall Stars defensive game and how they have to basically win games right now, and it's just hold on for dear life in the defensive zone and score almost on every single chance you have the other way, I think he's putting a lot of pressure on himself to make every save, and he feels like he has to be perfect. And I think that's where his game is lacking right now. I think a lot of it is just mental. Look, we've seen him make big saves. He got help with a post here tonight too. Maybe that's just the thing he needed to go. Maybe just the bounce he needed to maybe spur him in the right direction. But I think he's trying to be too perfect, and there's just a little bit too much pressure he's putting on himself. And if he just relaxes and plays his game, you know, I think the Stars are going to be just fine. And if he can just hold teams to two, even three, I think the Stars are going to do pretty decent, especially with what they're trotting out there. And look, I've always said this about him too, and I think he always plays his best in some of the biggest moments, and you can push back in the regular season. I don't give a rip. I don't give a crap what Otter does on Tuesday night in February. Like, what is he going to do in a game six or game seven, right? Like that's where I need Jake Oettinger to be his best. And I feel like more often than not, he's not the reason the Stars are you know throwing games away late in a series. So I'll hold on to that for what it is, because he seems to come up in those big moments. And yeah, maybe he's not the best goaltender in the world, but he's found a way to win some series. But I love to see DeSmith work in a bit more. Just he needs a reset to get his mind right, I believe.
Well, I was just getting a lot of slack from people after.
But he's been awful. I just want to say that he has been awful.
Yeah, and I think this is the first game in his last four that he actually held the other team to three. So his last three starts, he's let in four or more goals.
It's just been really rough for him over the course of the last, I guess you could say, since Miro's been out. Yeah. I don't think it's ironic that's the case. And I'm sorry, Ardell, I can't bring it up because I'm on my iPhone. But he made a really good point that maybe this whole thing coincides with Miro going out. And just the Stars' ability to get zone exits, the Stars' ability to play better defensively. It's just all of it is just firmly entwined when your best defender, your best player, arguably, is out for the rest of the regular season. And that quote this morning after morning skate, that when he was asked, Pete DeBoer, you know, could the Stars have to win a playoff series without Miro Heiskanen? And he said, we probably will have to do so. And that shook me to the core. I'm like, oh no. Cause obviously we're all looking at the standings, and I don't think it's extremely unlikely, or, you know, to put money on this, that the Stars are going to play Colorado in the first round. I mean, I think that's just an inevitability at this point, that it's going to happen. And the Stars without their best player against Colorado, who is kind of, they're starting to get their games together a little bit better. That's a big, big hill to climb for a Stars team that is really not playing their best right now. So it's just nice that right now there's still a month left in the season. little less than that at this point. I think the end of the season is April 17th or something like that. And it's just like you said, Joey, it's a Tuesday night and during the regular season against a better than normal Anaheim Ducks team. And I think the Ducks are going to be pretty close to a playoff team come next year. So, I mean, they've been a lot better this year, and especially against the Stars. They won the previous two meetings against the Stars this year. So we'll have to wait and see how all that goes. But yeah, go ahead. Y'all have anything else?
Yeah, I was just saying Anaheim's a tough team, and I said it on the preview episode I did. They're the scariest team right now as well because they're playing for nothing. Like, they got young guys that are playing for jobs. They're playing for contracts too. Like, they can make you pay. But you mentioned the Miro stuff, and I guess the only thing that's keeping me sane is I'm trying to believe that the Stars are just kind of downplaying this. That's what I'm hoping they're doing. They're just downplaying that, oh, we may have to win a series without him. So eventually they can surprise us with he's ready to go for game one. But I certainly would not throw money on the Stars if they had to play the Avs without Miro. Look, you're going to have an elite number one defenseman, and Thomas Harley is fantastic. I think he could fill that role rather well for Dallas. It's just everything behind him is not going to be elevated enough for them to beat a Colorado team. You have to have somebody to match Cale Makar, who is world-class. And last year in the second round, Miro Heiskanen was better than Cale Makar. He was the better defenseman in that series. And a big reason why the Stars were able to prevail. Of course, there was some things with Nichushkin and I think Taze was out for a game as well, which certainly helped. But man, you got to have somebody to combat him. And you know, Harley is world class, but he can't play up to a Makar level like Miro can. Just the way he can control the game and just settle everything down, especially in all three zones. Harley, we know he's aggressive. He can score. He still is a really good defender, but the way Miro can really just control the way the flow of a game is being played is just unmatched, and maybe better than even Cale Makar and some others that are always perennial in those, you know, Norris Trophy conversations. So, gosh, they need him. I'd like to think they could outscore their way to a series win, but that's as far as they're going to get without number four. I'll tell you that right now.
And really, where a Colorado-Dallas series could change a lot, too, is in the goaltending position. I mean, if you have Otter on like that, I know that Colorado has some goaltenders who are having really good regular seasons, but that is not their normal play. Their normal play is backup, kind of. But I think Otter, that's also something where Otter can come in and really shine and help you in a big series like that.
Well, and the only other thing I'm hoping for is that, you know, the Stars have not had to do a whole lot to their team. They have not added a whole lot. And unlike the Avalanche, who, I mean, they've completely overhauled their entire team, it's felt like. Obviously, the Rantanen deal was just kind of the beginning of it. But they went out and completely overhauled their goaltending prospects as well. And yeah, you know what? Credit to them. Absolute credit to them. When you've got two amazing, incredible players like MacKinnon and Makar, and you realize that you're not going to have them for forever, I mean, serious credit to them going out and, you know, finding some goalies that they thought were better and getting all that fixed. But I'm hoping that's to the Stars' credit and to the Stars' advantage by the time the playoffs come around. Because obviously I think some of this energy is going to help, and the Stars really truly only have to worry about Rantanen right now when it comes to like building that chemistry with Hintz and Robo and trying to get something going. So, and then the other thing is, you know, maybe it's time to abandon the top line of Rantanen, Hintz, and Robo, and maybe try something else. Because, I mean, as good as they've looked, there have been some times when they have not exactly been on their A game, those three guys. Right. But again, it's just going to take time for those three guys to get some chemistry built up. So that's what I'm hoping for, fingers crossed.
I would push back on the top line a lot because Rantanen and Hintz and Robo look fantastic together, but there's just sometimes where you see Robo and Hintz both, they're both guilty of it, trying to defer to Rantanen. And I feel like yes, Rantanen's a great player and he's probably the best forward on the team now, but both Robo and Hintz are absolutely killer at shooting the puck. And especially there was a 2-on-1 that Hintz tried to pass through a defender instead of just taking the shot tonight, that he really should be taking it there. It shouldn't be a question, especially when you have as much space as the defender gave him.
Yeah, well, he played the pass too. It's like he was playing the pass across. It's like fired on net, Rope. But I think you're right too, Jade. Like they forced the issue a few times, but I think they've looked really good. I mean, I look at natural stat trick. You look at that line, just some of the numbers, the shots for versus shots against, hence 8-1. You look at Rantanen, it was, you know, 7-1, and Robo's right up there. So they're creating a lot. But maybe they do want to spread the wealth a bit. I could see that just to get some other guys going. But man, I would love to see them rock a little bit more and just get to their game. You know, you're kind of trying to be the nice, you know, duo that's been around forever and be quiet and nice with your new toy, and you want to get him involved a bit. And once they get a little bit more selfish again, I think there's some of that in Rantanen too. And look, Rantanen is the type of player, you just watch him. It doesn't like jump off the page too. It's not like a Stankoven, because he was that little water bug that was just always moving his feet and he was making things happen. Rantanen is just really nonchalant. He does a lot of little things. He's very, he's very, I would say, can't find the word right now, but he's very cerebral. That's it. Look at me. I got a vocab tonight. Very cerebral with the way he plays and the way he has some of those nifty passes in tight corners as well. I've just really liked the way he's fit in. And, you know, I did want to touch on the point that Ryan discussed with, you know, Miro possibly being out. I know there's a lot of Stars fans that are out there that are, you know, irritated hearing what DeBoer said and thinking, well, why didn't you go get a defenseman at the deadline? And I would probably say 95% sure the Stars were probably in on some type of defenseman during the deadline. I'm sure they were given calls and trying to make something happen, but I believe the prices were pretty high for a few of these, you know, players. Maybe it was Ristolainen, even Carlo, right? Some of those guys. And, you know, it's tough to give up a first round pick for a rental. So I don't blame Dallas for, well, we can get a guy that scored 100 points in back-to-back seasons for a couple of first round picks. I know we got to give up a really good player, but we get him for 8 years rather than I'm going to pay Joe Schmo down the block. That's going to play maybe 12 to 15 minutes a night, hopefully come playoff time. And then he re-signs with another team, because really, what is he going to do for us in the future? So I think it was hard for them to pull the trigger on somebody without having to almost give up too much. And so, I mean, hindsight's always 20/20. If you knew Miro's going to miss a round, let's say we knew Miro's missing a round, I still wouldn't give up. I honestly wouldn't give up, you know, a first rounder here or there for somebody. I would just be like, you know what, we'll have to roll with what we have, and we'll go all in next year, right? With what we have. And I think I said that at the deadline, when I think with all the injuries that were piling up, it's like, well, do you really want to give up a lot to try to go in for this year? If you know you're not going to have your best player, I don't think it's worth it. At some point you kind of have to bite the tongue and be like, yeah, maybe we're going to be ousted early this year. And that sucks, but the Stars are in such a good spot. They have so much of their windows wide open. So, that's sort of my take on the Stars going out and try to get a defenseman. I bet they were, just couldn't pull the trigger.
I'm sure that was within the realm of possibility with the Stars. They were obviously still in on stuff. I mean, they that's the reason why they put Miro on LTIR after they got Mikko Rantanen, was because they were like, just in case something pops up, we have the ability to make a move if we want to. And I'm sure that they were in on all of the defensemen that were being talked about. Noah Dobson, Ristolainen, Brandon Carlo, and I'm sure there's some other ones out there too. But the fact that you go out there and you get Mikko Rantanen, yes, it came at a cost and at a really good player, but it's a no-brainer. I mean, you don't pass this opportunity up to go out there and get a player like that. And like you said, Joey, it's for a long time. It's not like we're just getting him for just a rental for 20 games in the regular season and then however long you're in the playoffs for. So it is what it is. The last thing I'll ask you guys about, and then we got to probably wrap it up here with biggest winner, biggest loser. One of the things that the Stars game review was kind of talking about a lot was the bottom six in particular. And we've seen a lot of different configurations from the bottom six. Seal's kind of been the leader of all of those bottom six guys. He's been up and down the lineup, but he's been the one that's been consistently very, very good no matter where you put him, and especially on the third and fourth line. So I was a little surprised to see Dadonov get taken out of the lineup here today, but it also did make some kind of sense because he's been kind of quiet lately. And, you know, maybe they just needed a little bit of extra snarl there, a little bit more pushback in the bottom six here tonight. Is this something moving forward that you see the Stars doing and kind of seeing more of Back and Steele and Blackwell and those type of players rather than maybe seeing Dadonov get in the lineup on the fourth line?
I would say DeBoer's probably going to tinker for the rest of the season. I think that's sort of what he wants to do. I think it was probably a good chance to get Blackwell into a game, and he had some good legs. Fourth line's been great recently too. I can't remember a time where I've seen them in the defensive zone. I feel like every time I see 18 out there, like they're him and the opponent in their own zone, and they had a couple of nice looks tonight. They just play with speed, and again, they're just ferocious on the forecheck, and some other trios can take note too and do that a bit more. I love what they've given Dallas. They just give them energy, and look, what they do more importantly than anything, and yeah, you would like them to chip in a bit more offensively, but what they do, which never shows up on the stat sheet, is they set the next lineup for success. And that's what I love. You see it so many times. Maybe even tonight there was a shift, but even in some of the games over the road trip where Dallas was just struggling to get something happening, a fourth line goes out there, they have a positive shift, and then it feels like, okay, it changes the momentum. Then that top line comes out there, they have a good shift, and then boom, they maybe pick up a goal. But that's what's really important and what you need from your fourth line. Of course, you'd like them to chip in a bit more offensively, but if they can set some of these other trios up for success, that's big. And I think they've done wonderful at that recently. And God, Steele's such a good player, and Beck's great. And Dadonov's been having a heck of a year. I mean, God, he's been consistent, and I think it shows you that there's a lot of options Pete DeBoer has, and he's going to go with what he feels fit on any given night.
Yeah, I think the main thing with taking Dadonov out is he had a really tough game on against Colorado the other night. Looked pretty bad. He got downgraded to the fourth line, and at that point, you probably want Blackwell on that fourth line instead. He'll be back in the lineup though. He's also a veteran guy, and he's quite old. He's the oldest player on our team, so giving him a night off, I mean, honestly, that can only do good things for him, especially coming down the stretch here, getting him geared up for the playoffs.
All right, hopefully my internet doesn't mess up anymore for the last couple minutes here. Biggest winner, biggest loser here tonight. Who do you guys have for your biggest winner and biggest losers? There's some real big, obvious ones you could choose from.
Well, biggest loser has to be the Zebras. I think the Stripes deserve the biggest winner title tonight. Biggest winner, I'm gonna go Granlund, man. That was an awesome overtime winner for him. And man, I'll tell you something. Well, actually, let me give a biggest winner to you know, scratch Granlund. No offense to him. I'm going to give it to the AAC. They've had some electric crowds. They've had some awesome, awesome crowds. And I'm jealous I haven't been to a ton of games this year. One game I went to, they got absolutely doused by Toronto, which was ugly. But other than that, I mean, what a pop for the Granny goal. And I think it was 100 consecutive sellouts, too. So big, big ops to Stars fans out there. God, DFW is fantastic. Stars to the freaking moon.
I'm also giving my biggest loser to the Zebras. They completely changed the outcome of this game. I mean, the Stars had it pretty well under control, even after starting the second period poorly, getting scored on. Granlund responded perfectly, snipes one, and then they were just downhill. They got the power play, and then two bad calls completely flipped the outcome of the game. And it's bad on the Stars. They let it get in their heads, really, and you could tell in the way they played. But it never happens if the refs are making normal calls, I'll say. Even just like just one of those two getting called, okay, whatever, you know. But both of them, I felt really tilted the ice, and it changed the it could have changed the outcome of this game. Almost did. Biggest winner, I'm going to give to the save from Otter in the third period specifically. That is the first time we have seen Otter play like Otter in months. And honestly, it was really refreshing to see. I mean, it was a wide open chance, and he just comes across and he stones him. So I'm giving my biggest winner to Otter.
Screw you, Brandon. For those of you that are listening on the audio side, I'll read his comment to you. Joey, next time my wife can't go, you can come sit next to me in 314. I'll only complain about Ryan's internet once. I have not had bad internet issues, Brandon, since I moved back to DFW, so be quiet.
Biggest losers, T-Mobile tonight, man.
Yes. Okay, so the real one is, let's be honest, is the refs, because the refs absolutely just... I agree with both of you. They just completely affected the outcome of this game today. And I mean, I kept looking down at some of the scouts who were sitting to my left in the press box, and they're just like looking at me like, this is not normal. Like, this is weirdly, and they were baffled. And when it went 4-on-3, the one directly next to me is from St. Louis. He was just like, I don't even know hockey anymore. That was literally the words coming out of his mouth. So I was just like, okay, whatever. To be silly, the real biggest loser is my internet capabilities tonight. I mean, the technical difficulties with technology, not just with internet, but with the freaking stupid like elevator, like come on, like this is not a good night for me in that part. The biggest winner for me though, in all reality, excuse me, is Thomas Harley. He's been overplayed more than he's used to. I don't think he's been overplayed up to his capabilities, because he's shown like how well he can be as a number one defenseman. And you say, like you were talking about him filling in as a number one defenseman, Joey. Mm-hmm. He is a number one defenseman in my book at this point. Like he does everything. Like you could throw Miro in back into the lineup, and I don't think you change anything about the lineup and what Harley is doing right now. Like other than maybe the amount of minutes that he's playing, you maybe take a couple more of those minutes away and give it back to Miro, but don't change anything else about what Harley is doing right now, because he is directly directly affecting the outcome of every game that he's playing right now. Whether it be, you know, sometimes defensively he has a couple of issues, but tonight, especially offensively, he makes a huge impact in the game here tonight. So don't change anything about what you're doing with your utilization of Thomas Harley when he comes back, when Miro comes back. So that's my biggest winner, biggest loser tonight. I'll try to... Oh, wait. Maybe I can actually pull it up. Ah, I can pull it up. Okay. Brandon, join Who Cares Club to get Brian better internet. Screw you, Brandon.
Wow, Brandon's on you tonight. That's tough.
I know.
I almost lost it in the first segment. I almost lost it. I had to pull it together because I was like, I'm going to have to leave for 5 minutes to gather myself. But me and James powered through, so we got it handled for you.
Literally, I was about going back and forth between my computer and phone, trying to hoping that something would finally work. And at least the phone worked here tonight. But anyways, guys, thank all of y'all for joining us live here this evening and for joining us in this special crossover edition between Starcastic Remarks and Locked On Stars. Joey, as always, man, thanks for coming in and hanging out with us. It's been a blast. And you want to tell everyone what you're up to for the next couple of weeks?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, boys, for having me on. It's always a blast to chop it up with y'all. But you can follow me at Locked On Stars, wherever you get your podcasts. It's on YouTube. But busy couple of weeks here on the road. So I'll be doing a lot of podcasts from hotels, currently in Albuquerque. I'll be in Odessa this weekend for a couple of games and then El Paso next week. So it's going to be a lot of fun traveling across the state of Texas here the next few weeks. For those of you that don't know, I do play-by-play for the Corpus Christi Ice Rays in the North American Hockey League, so that's my daytime job. But I talk Stars hockey on Locked On Stars every day, and I bring Ryan on too much. I think his brothers are getting jealous. I need to bring on James and Chris a bit more. So, but me and Ryan get together quite a bit. So always a pleasure to be with you boys.
Well, let me see if I get this right. New Mexico is the Wolves, right?
Yeah, the Ice Wolves.
That's right. Yeah. And then the Jackalopes, obviously in Odessa, because I used to live there. And then is it where are you going out after that?
El Paso.
Oh, the Rhinos. The Rhinos. Yes, right. The Rhinos. Okay. See. I'm starting to learn some NHL stuff. Yeah. I'm getting there. Well. Anyways, guys, thank y'all so much. Thank you to our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. Promo code THPN the next time you are there. Alongside Joey and alongside James, my name's Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you guys have a good, fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you guys are listening. And we will catch you guys later on Thursday.